Welcome to Is It a Date? A podcast where once upon a time, when socialising was legal, we used to delve into the nuances and grey areas of a queer hang and attempt to answer the question, as old as time, the gay question as old as time, is it a date? But then I realised that if you want to have a virtual date, you have to make it pretty clear it's a date, otherwise it's just another Zoom meeting, and even then, I'm not super convinced it's a date. This episode I am joined by my friend Georgia, who brings us the queer, COVID-themed, socially distanced erotic short story we deserve, and quite possibly the only dilemma during a pandemic where we can genuinely ask the question, is it a date? We also wonder if we are still trans, if there are no cis people to tell us we are trans, and we also speak about socially distanced dating ideas. As usual, please email isitadatepodcast@gmail.com with your dating questions, queries and concerns, or message me, Florence, on Instagram @boyflorence, and we will try to answer them on the show. Georgia, welcome.
Thank you, Florence. Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Georgia. And that's that.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for the description of yourself.
Sorry, I wasn't sure what would be appropriate.
Do you want to people might want to follow you on Instagram?
They can, yeah. My Instagram is gertwer, if you want to have a look for that.
You're also in a very, very cool band.
I'm in a band called Charismatic Megafauna. Yep. And I'm an occupational therapist. And just general person.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we're in a fake polycule together.
Yeah, we're in our platonic asexual polycule.
With last week's guest, Ez.
Yeah.
And Ez posts about us on Instagram. I think once their colleague genuinely thought that we were a polycule and came up to them in the work kitchen and was like, gosh, yeah, having a three-person polycule, that's difficult. I'm amazed you managed to get out together.
Yeah, so it's really nice that you get to go out together, spend time together. That's really cool.
I mean, that is nice that we do get to spend time together.
Would be. Well, yeah, I mean, it is nice to spend time with your friends, isn't it?
It is. Well, it was nice.
Yeah, it was a lovely time.
I missed that.
We? Yeah. It was nice. Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day. Now we're just stuck with our 11:30 daily house party coffee mornings.
Yeah, just our coffee mornings. That's all we've got now.
We're also both in the Sad Tops Club. Do you want to tell people what the Sad Tops Club is?
Oh, yeah, the Sad Tops Club. That's for tops who are sad, really. Emotional, you know, don't tops rights now.
okay, I thought it was something different. I thought it was when you're kind of androgynous looking, and so people assume you're a top and then don't really reciprocate.
That's definitely part of it. So it's to be assumed a top when you're not. Well, that's actually a big part of it. Yeah, to be assumed for toppishness to be projected onto you, other people's idea of toppishness.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would describe myself as a top, but most people's idea of what a top is isn't necessarily what I interpret it as.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that sort of presumption that makes you feel a bit sad.
True.
Like, God.
And what does a top do in quarantine? I think it's a hard time for us all.
It is a hard time, isn't it? Practice your swagger.
Oh yeah, as practices her topping arm by doing exercises. Yeah. That's pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to maintain my arms.
No, you don't need to do anything.
Solid. That's all right. Just love to talk about my arms.
I mean, don't we all? That is a great top trait. I'm doing daily yoga with Adrian. She's helping me to develop my topping arm.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I've heard that she's doing wonders for folks.
She really is. She didn't know that she was going to be my quarantine partner, but she is.
She's also my housemate's close personal friend.
What?
We see each other every day. Well, through doing yoga with Adrian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, don't worry. I actually think that Adrian's like coming round to your house every day.
Comes round. She takes us through the moves, you know. Yeah.
Adrian, wow, that's pretty big violation of social distancing. No, zero respect.
Yeah, that's just Adrian though. That's, you know, why we love her. That's the kind of gal she is, I guess.
Yeah, well, she really prioritises her yoga, doesn't she?
Does. I mean, I've never seen her. I've just heard so much about her from so many people.
Yeah, I had no idea she was cheating on me with so many people.
Yeah, she gets around, man. No, if you've not had a discussion about that, that's not cool.
Yeah, we need to, I think me and Adrian need to go back to the drawing board and just lay some groundwork.
You know, it's just about open communication, isn't it?
Yeah, truly. I mean, how is quarantine for you generally?
Yeah, it's good.
Having a good time.
I quite like it. Yeah. I'm doing some work at that Nightingale Hospital training facility, so I get out and see people. I like being in. It's been good for me. That was my vow for Lent, was to go out less. And so that's just really happened for me this year.
Wow, really, the outside circumstances really came together for you for that one.
They did. And I wanted to eat in restaurants less. I wanted to cook at home more. So here we go.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it's just really, I mean, I think maybe I did this. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
It's pledged too hard.
I feel that, because I really needed to get much better at graphic design, and sometimes when I'm just sitting there doing my design, I'm like, did I wish this into being?
Maybe we all did collectively. We all just wanted to sit down. Not that I'm having like loads of a sit down. Yeah. Well, I'm sitting down, but it's not the sit down I want. I want the sit down with no requirement.
Yeah.
Sit down there.
I don't understand what you're talking about, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, like, you can sit down at a desk, can't you? I don't want that sit down.
Oh, yeah. You want to be sitting down and the rules are your own. So,
yeah.
Oh, you're exactly. Really breaking up.
Am I?
Yeah.
Back?
Sorry?
Am I back?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay. Just hold a bit.
And speaking of sitting at tables, you've been sitting at a table with a potential is it a date situation.
I have.
The only possible circumstance in this quarantine where this could be a thing, because I'm getting a lot of stuff from queers and lesbians who are very concerned that they are just locked into this endless daily communication with somebody else, like via email or WhatsApp or calls, and they're just daily like pouring out their hearts to this person, and they're like, I have no idea what this means, and I need to come up with a blanket rule for that one, but that is definitely not what's going on for you.
No, this is IRL.
Oh, I miss those days.
Via work.
Oh my gosh.
I suppose the one to really talk about is the one at the canteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to say who this person, like what their, how they came into your life?
To a degree. We're both working as training staff. So we're both faculty members at the hospital. There's like obviously a whole bunch of people there, and you meet everyone, you know, you have your colleagues. Luckily for me, one of the colleagues was a queer. Yeah. And this became established over a number of days, like 2 or 3 days. And I just got the sense. Then after getting the sense, you know, you just, it's like a spidey sense, isn't it? It's just a kind of a sort of, but I'm quite slow with these things, so it does take me a good couple of hours after the conversation to like go bing, oh my gosh, was that a rainbow tote bag? Along with a long conversation about missing Superstore. It slowly sunk in, and then by day 3 I was like, okay, I think that's what this is.
Amazing.
And then by Tuesday, day 4, I was like, I'm pretty sure that that's what this is. Awesome. And then by Wednesday, I was like, definitely there's something going on. Then Thursday, I was like, is it a date?
Oh, that is actually a very quick timeline compared to what most of us are going through right now.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the only option we have, because, you know, when you've got a certain amount of time when you're somewhere, it's like, well, there isn't going to be another option. You know, it's going to be forever before you can have normal rates of hanging out, so you have to seize the moment.
Truly. And have you seized the moment?
No. We are quite failed to do that, but you know, I'm sad top.
Oh, that is truly a sad top. I also heard there's only like 8 people in that hospital. Is that true?
Something like that. There's not many.
Oh, the Tories are lying.
But there's not like, what are the Tories saying?
I don't know, they just make it sound like, you know, Matt Hancock made a big deal about opening that hospital, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it didn't open on that day at all.
Really?
No.
And it was also,
3 or 4 days.
The way he was talking about it, it made it sound like he had built it himself.
Yeah. He's not been there. Trust me. I was there. He was not there. He came by and then he went, and he came by very early so there would be no one around to see him.
Maybe he was just respecting social distancing. Unlike Adrian.
Unlike Adrian, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that bastard. Bleep me out.
So you and this other queer are in this hospital, and you noticed pretty quickly that they're also queer, but you're not. And then, but then a few days later, you're like, there's some vibes here. You're hanging out in the canteen. It's like the kind of, when we saw Matt Hancock opening this hospital on the TV, we were like wondering what queerness could be behind the scenes. And this is the gossip you're dishing out for us right now.
Yeah, yeah, this is it. This is the piece of hot queer gossip coming out of that. I mean, I don't know, you know, there could be, now that it is open and there's other staff down there on the floor, I don't know what's going on there.
Good point. We must not assume.
I'd love to link up.
I love this behind the scenes glimpse of what's really going on in that hospital.
And I just think everybody wants to know that that is happening, you know, that there is something like that going on somewhere in the structures of the hospital.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
I think it's important. We don't want to just all be lesson plans this and operating procedure that.
I think we're all very, very glad to know that there is some like queer flirtation going on, and that there's no place that two queers and it can exist. It's like, you know, the Armenians say, like, when two Armenians come together, then you have a new Armenia. And I feel like when two queers come together, then you have a date situation.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So what's happened with this person?
Well, there was an offer to just see what a hotel room looks like.
Just out of curiosity.
I just wanted to know what it looked like. But yeah, I think I told you about this, that my own body blocked me.
Oh yeah, you are worried about your smell. And I suggested,
I just reeked to high heaven. I had panic stink.
Oh, I have, it's been so long since I've seen another human being that are my own parents, that I no longer know what the general hygiene rules are, and I suggested putting some lemons under your armpits. But then again, I am having a bath once a week, and that is the only time I wash, so I know nothing about hygiene at the moment.
I think that makes sense. I mean, if you're not seeing people, what's it for?
Exactly. That's my feeling. I'm just giving my natural scent time to blossom.
Yeah, really find out who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, really know yourself. But yeah, my body, it just kicked into some weird mode. And like from the moment that it was like, oh, you can come and see what the room looks like if you like. Because I just wanted to hear about it because I love hotels. I'm obsessed. I just wanted to know what it looked like.
It's true. We did check out was it the Premier Inn we checked out at Stevenage?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Oh, love them.
I miss being able to go to Stevenage. I never thought I'd say that.
We had such a lovely time.
We really did.
Soaked.
Sorry, this like connection's really breaking up. I'm sorry, I keep on talking over you.
That's okay.
Yeah, we just stood in the rain and handed out Labour leaflets to people who just didn't want to know, didn't we?
Yeah. And then the rain rained on our leaflets and they got wet. And then we were just so cold and soaked through. It was misery.
Yeah, we ended up in Nando's.
That was nice.
That was lovely.
I had a dessert.
You had a beer and a cup of tea.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we did our bit, didn't we?
We did.
It's nice to try. Remember that.
Anyway, you've got your lemons under your armpits and your natural scent is cock blocking you from this person's hotel room.
Absolutely blocked. Yeah, there was nothing I could have done. Like, even the 2 meter social distancing wasn't doing the trick to prevent traveling, in my opinion. And then some advice previously had been like, well, you should have just gone and like had a shower. It's like, you don't walk straight into somebody's hotel room when you're still not sure what the situation is and say, I'm gonna have a shower right now. Do you? I don't think you do.
I think
but for this casual glance around your hotel room, I shall now have a shower.
Yeah, I want to really try out this hotel room. And then, oh my gosh, and when you're getting dressed again, you can like try out the trouser press.
Exactly. You can stand there with no trousers on making chit chat because you're still not quite sure. You haven't established yet exactly where this thing is going.
I mean, that yeah. really is one way to make sure it's a date, by being naked 5 minutes into it.
Let me just undress, you know? But still making it a diverted undressing by saying it's to shower.
Yes, exactly. Actually, I don't think this is a bad idea. I'm really into it.
Something to bear in mind for future, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I have a shower in your house. Yeah, just pop in the old shower. But yeah, then the next day I was like, well, it's okay. I'll really have a shower like tomorrow and make sure this doesn't happen again. And then maybe the next night we can hang out. But then the next night she was very tired. Oh. And another staff member really pushed her to go home and rest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was like, yes, it was the right thing to do to go home and rest if you're very, very tired. But at the same time, it was just a bit like, oh, yeah, damn it to hell.
Yeah, this person sounds homophobic.
It was homophobia. It was just blatant.
Hate crime.
Know, it's hard for straights to know that they're even doing it. But, you know, sometimes they just are by not reading the signs.
Truly.
It's clearly a situation, not just a new friendship. Crying out loud.
You need to include that in your training, in your well-being training.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. In our equality and diversity training. And then, we have to fast forward to Sunday, where there was, like, we've been messaging at this point. So at this point, we're messaging regularly. And the next day we're working together is Sunday, and she comes in partly just to check in with me and say hi.
Oh,
you worked a night before that and was working a night afterwards again.
Well, babe,
I know. And then because she has to go to a night shift, but we went to the only place that was available for dinner, which was the hospital canteen.
Oh my god.
And there was a moment of like, would you want to just eat with everyone else? Because some food had been brought up to the offices. Or like, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to eat with everyone else? Or, and I just was like, I want to hang out with you. So whatever you're going to do.
Aww.
And then we went and we had dinner. And then we managed to have about 45 minutes of conversation in which we finally explicitly disclosed being queers.
Amazing. What was the segue? It was
really nice. What was the segue? Don't know, probably. I think I just said I am a gay person. I think I said that because I don't know why I prefer to use gay.
Yeah, I love gay.
I prefer to use that one. And lesbian and dyke, I like to use quite traditional clunky ones.
I'm not into lesbian, but dyke and gay feels so good.
Definitely. And I think for me dyke is like broader than lesbian.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what was, opened up that chat.
What was on the menu for your hospital canteen date? What's the order?
It was sausage and mash.
Oh, classic. Lovely.
Yeah, it was. And it was decent. It was all right. The day before that, there was the really good meal, because that was paneer tikka.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah. Huge cubes, really big cubes of paneer.
Oh, and, amazing. Like, a decent
sauce. Yeah, yeah. That canteen is not bad, I'll tell you that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll go again tomorrow. I'll make the most of it.
Definitely, please do.
Oh, I might get there in time for breakfast.
Oh, what do they do for breakfast? Like porridge or eggs or?
Porridge and croissants.
Oh, heavenly.
Yogurt, stuff like that. Really good. So, yeah, and I think that... So I'm a bit upset because we thought we were both working at the same place tomorrow, but actually we're at different sites. And now I'm not sure what to do moving forwards, really, because I feel like that there is, like, it's a flirtation, but I'm not sure how to take it forwards because we are under quarantine.
You are. I think you kind of have to flirt more directly. Do you feel comfortable doing that?
I'm going to have to try, aren't I?
It's difficult because you've been in quite what I'd call sterile in many ways environment. Like, you're caring for COVID patients, and it's, I don't know, not necessarily conducive to hot and heavy flirtation.
Yeah, and I feel like I can get a bit anxious around that anyway, and I am feeling my anxiety levels rise because I'm used to just being at home where I'm protected from all types of, any type of interaction besides my housemates. which is just about making elaborate dinners.
I love that. Yeah, I have to say I'm enjoying not having to socialise with anyone. I'm noticing how much social anxiety I had.
Yeah, I'm actually, like, when I go out now, if I have to go further than a certain, I start to get a bit of panic that's just about kind of being out and about.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I mean, the government really is going to have to let us out just, like, bit by bit, aren't they? Just for the sake of us very socially anxious people.
Yeah, come on. I remember I did this 10-day silent retreat, and then when we were able to start talking again, I just cried.
Oh, that's so Georgia.
I just felt like, oh man, it took me a while to like get back up to normal. Other people just started chatting straight away and I couldn't handle it.
Oh. Yeah, they need to just slowly be introduced into society, don't they?
Yeah, bit by bit. Do not open. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine how they're going to phase it.
No.
Like, everyone's going to want to go out, like, hard. People are going to try to go out.
They really are. And especially if it's during summer, it's going to be intense.
It's going to be a lot. I think that maybe they should, like, phase it into, like, gatherings.
Yeah.
So you can go to each other's houses.
Yeah.
Have, like, parties. And then bring back things that are open until 11 and then bring back proper nights.
Oh man, the first time we get to go out on a night together, I'm gonna be so happy.
It's so good.
Me and Georgia,
oh my god,
have a tradition of whenever we go out, there's some photographer who takes some very
misleading or compromising.
Compromising, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we always get photographed in a very compromising way. And then I get a mysterious cancellation of a date and I'm like, what happened?
I think it's the hair contrast or something makes a good picture.
Oh, yeah.
But it is always in this moment of like, yeah.
We're both both very handsome. So that's definitely something to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to take a photo of that moment?
Exactly.
You know? In our polycule. But yeah, I can't wait to go to a room full of queers.
Yeah, what are you missing most? What social interaction are you missing most?
I think what I really miss is like the feeling of absolute delight of going into Butch Please and just everyone being there. And just before like the little shows that people do.
Yeah.
And then just get that moment of walking in and being like, oh, what a beautiful room.
Yeah, and you just see those faces. Last time we went to Butch Please, we were behind some men in the queue and they looked around and saw us and just walked straight out of the queue and down the road.
They just had a little look around and they're like, okay, I don't think this is what we thought it would be. At first I was like, oh, they're coming in. Like, yeah. That's nice. They're like regulars here and they don't mind if it's not like a night for men. But no, then they left. So
yeah,
there
we
you
really
go.
Thought they were just trying to broaden their horizons, didn't we?
Yeah. We did. Shame that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to just that moment. Yeah, where you walk in and everyone's there and everyone looks great and everybody is great.
And beautiful moment.
That's going to be nice.
I was going to go on to quite... I'm noticing the time. I want to try and cap these at 30 minutes. And I was going to start to introduce segments about, like, what does it even mean to be queer in lockdown? But also it's kind of serious, so we can skim over that into more fun topics. What are you feeling?
Like we could talk a bit about that.
So we are both non-binary, and if we are not in a world, in a cishet world, I mean, I do live with my parents, so it's a bit different for me, but what does it mean to even be non-binary in quarantine? Like, do we still exist as trans?
I mean, for me, like, I sort of asked people not to use too many female pronouns for me, even when I was like 11 or 12 or something.
Amazing.
And I think because it just didn't sit right. And I think that I would have, if the language had been there, I would have been using it since as soon as I had like an awareness of myself.
Yeah.
So I feel very, very deeply settled in non-binariness. Like it feels like now if somebody uses the wrong pronouns, it sounds just like as if a non-native speaker is just mixing up their pronouns by accident and you kind of gloss over it.
Interesting, like, yeah.
So I think for me It's more hard because the sexuality is part of it is newer to me. That's the thing that it's harder for me to.
Yeah.
I feel like less settled in that, and I feel a bit stopped short in terms of knowing myself in that way. Mm. Whereas in terms of gender, I feel quite settled in that.
Yeah.
But in a way, I feel paused. I feel paused of how I would continue to find out how I want to express myself in both of those ways.
No, I feel that on a very deep level. I definitely resonate with that.
Mm.
And there is something about queerness in terms of sexuality. Like, you have to be around other people. It somehow, I mean, you don't have to. Obviously, there are people who are like chronically ill and have to stay at home who are still queer. I don't mean to kind of invalidate that, but I think we're just asking ourselves a lot of these kinds of questions, and I really relate to what you said about it feeling like just completely paused.
Mm. I mean, I think like by reading things and like queer Instagram, I still see a lot of community around me.
Yeah.
And have like this conversation with my housemates. So I have that to a degree around me.
I was so starved of seeing queerness around me that, I mean, I wasn't taking a bike ride to Cruise for Queers, but I was thinking about I think I might ride to drop an Easter egg off at my godmother's house, and I just noticed myself just like staring at everyone, and I just realized I was just desperately trying to find queer people because I was like, oh my god, there's a queer person. Yeah. And I actually looked and was like, this person's not queer.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I mean, I wasn't cruising because I was trying to pick somebody up, because we know that is not right. But I really just wanted to see some queer people. So I just like smile and nod at them. I just realized this like tiny small moment of recognition when you see a queer person walking down the street. I just needed that so badly.
I mean, I suppose it's a funny thing that like in terms of calling out aesthetically and things like that, that's something that is harder to do now.
Mm.
But then in terms of like, does straightness still exist if no one's looking at it? Does queerness exist if no one's looking at it?
I mean, sadly, straightness does definitely exist where I am, because I overhear my next door neighbor's boyfriend talking on the phone every single day on their balcony. It's so obnoxious and so annoying. And I really want to put some spanner in their woodwork. Wait, what's the phrase? Yeah. I want to put some spanner into some works in their relationships to mess it up so he has to move out somewhere to his like parents or something, because I'm so irritated by him.
Sick of hearing it. We've made an arrangement. We don't have to listen to cis men anymore.
Exactly. It's our time off.
But I think, I don't know, for me it's still last night I read a lot of Dykes to Watch Out for before I went to bed.
Definitely.
And woke up in a really good mood, like I always do when I read that before bed. And for me it's still a constant and something that makes me feel really happy and celebratory as I move through things. Like I have to maybe refer back to things a bit more to remember who's around me, or like I really look forward to seeing people again.
Mm.
And by people I mean like just people I don't even know, people around at nights and events and locations or whatever. I don't know, I feel like the gender thing for me, I feel very surprisingly solid in it.
Amazing.
And that's like personal privilege and I don't know, I'm not engaging with something in it, I don't know.
No, not at all. Like I'm really, and to be honest, like, you know, I feel very settled in my gender and myself, but that's what made me think, like, you know, the reason I feel trans is because the outside world is not set up to kind of encompass me in my gender. Mm. But if I'm not in the outside world, if there are small ways that my parents do make me feel seen, even if they do like make mistakes and stuff, then I don't know, I just think it's an interesting thing to think through. But I feel so settled in myself in a way that I feel very much in my gender.
Oh, so I suppose then saying like transness is a cis name for people who live their experience of gender in a way that looks like what cis people need to call trans, what you mean?
I mean, you put it so much more eloquently than me, but yes.
Okay, in that case, maybe, I don't know, being not challenged or having to, maybe that needs, I should think more on that then.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it is, to me, my experience of gender is very celebratory.
I love that.
If it's not being downtrodden, or, you know, if I'm not being directly attacked about it, which doesn't happen that often for me.
Yeah.
I think people say things behind my back, but not to my face, and that's fine with me.
I get occasional things to my face. And what I noticed in Sainsbury's the other day, I had my bandana face mask on, and I had a quite a big chunk out of my eyebrow. My eyebrow is currently socially distanced. It's got a huge chunk shaved out of it. And I was getting a lot of stares, and I was so convinced it was the mask. I was like, yeah, we're supposed to wear masks. What's one of it? And I was like, wait, no, they're very confused about what gender I am. And yeah, I got stared a lot of times.
Yeah, that moment. I get more now, especially, increasingly over the last year, I get a lot more second glances or, like, held looks, especially if I'm with other visibly queer people. And I suppose I always feel like that's an intrusion on my gender expression rather than feeling like... I don't know, that's how I personally...
No, I feel that.
I know that, like, I know how I experience myself. I know that they don't understand it. And so I kind of... That feels like a disruption of my enjoyment of my experience of it rather than a witnessing.
Yes, yeah.
I don't feel like they're witnessing me. I feel like they're staring at something that they don't know what it is.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
Mm. So, yeah, in terms of witnessing, I feel more witnessed and seen to be non-binary. Especially if I, like, you know, that. Do you feel that thing of, like, you meet people who are non-binary or trans and there's a sort of... You just know?
Yeah.
Or you feel like a commonality?
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful moment. That acknowledgement.
It is. I do miss that.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should think more. I'll think more about it and, like, try and clear up my thinking on it.
Yeah, well, we've got plenty of time to think. If nothing else, we've got lots of space and time to think about ourselves.
I'm working.
Oh yeah, you're working
constantly.
The NHS needs to give you work breaks to think about your gender.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I need to go part-time so I can think about my gender. I would love that. Gender and sexuality time. I'm really going part-time to focus on my other part of my personal life career.
I love that. I know somebody who started somatically transitioning and they were given transition leave by their workplace.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was mostly the workplace just didn't understand what was going on. It was just easier for them to just not have to witness that in betweenness of it.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think that's the impression I got. I don't know fully, and that's the impression.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not amazing then.
I mean, it was amazing. I think they were pretty pleased to just not be working and still being paid. Yeah. But yeah, like, I think the reasoning behind it was a bit shoddy.
Yeah, it's a bit of ups and downs there.
I'm struggling to think of any kind of decent segue to our last moments.
Okay.
But I'm just going to dive straight in from transness to ideas for long distance dates. Do you have any ideas?
I think video calling whilst eating the same meal, doing things like queer house party or something together.
Yeah.
Doing like a little quiz or something, watching film, trying to do things that you're doing at the same time but in different places.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've had one great socially distanced date and one great socially distanced hangout in the past week. One was with my gay friend Saul. We listened to Dua Lipa's new album together, and we like played it exactly at the same time and then played the videos at the same time, and it was amazing. We had such a good time.
Great.
And then last night I had a date to watch Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is now on Mubi.
Ooh, yeah.
And I woke up this morning, I guess like you and Dyke's watch out for, I woke up this morning feeling so warm, and I was like, oh, that was so beautiful.
Oh, that is good. And like, yeah, we had the book club hangout, didn't we? And then that was like really uplifting.
That really was. Although I missed the juicy part. I just stayed for the book discussion. We read, if anyone wants a book recommendation, we read Unearthed Were Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong.
Amazing book.
Yeah. But it was a bit heavy going. Maybe it's not necessarily the best quarantine book.
Yeah, I think if you get through it and then get into the sexy part.
Oh, the sexy part is good. Like, yeah.
It is really good. And then what else is a good... I think doing like a one of there's like classes that you can do together and then talk about afterwards, like dance or something, or like music exchange.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I've been making a
that's a good one.
A gay yearning playlist for the person I'm dating. It's just
That is nice.
Really a time of gay yearning.
Then hits me on there.
Oh gosh, I don't know how I overlooked that. I definitely need to just put that one ASAP.
Just get a little bit of Pink in the Night on
there. Oh, Pink in the Night, yeah. Oh my gosh, do you remember our plans to do a slow strip to Pink in the Night for Ez's housewarming?
Yeah, I think Ez would burn her own eyes out if she saw me doing that. So I'm going to do it.
I think that's why Corona happened. I think Ez caused it to make sure that you couldn't do a strip to that housewarming.
Yeah, I could do it to Black Velvet and destroy that song forever. Yeah, my gift is to not do that strip for us.
She'll truly appreciate that.
The world misses out though.
I mean, definitely. I'm sure you can still do it, but maybe release it onto Instagram during quarantine and people would really appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll just do it on Instagram TV.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's it for another week of Is It a Date? What are your dating conundrums? How are you entertaining yourself during quarantine? Do you still feel queer? Do you still feel trans? What are your ideas for dates? Email isitadatepodcast@gmod.com, message Boy Florence on Insta, or follow the website link on Anchor. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you, Georgia, for giving us vicarious thrills through your stories.